Oh boy!
Yeah, normally I feel like we do a little bit of pre-recording chit-chat about how we're feeling and how the book went, but I don't know, I'm into it.
This book!
Oh man, I am the emotional equivalent of a frayed nerve right now. Yeah. I am like coming off of the weirdest adrenaline high of my life probably, and then... So last night I had like a book launch event, and what I did was I said, Megan, my dear friend, you know what's going to be a really good chaser for an incredibly stressful and exciting night is reading an Animorphs book, is reading the semi-finale, and then talking to you about it.
I was reading that book the day that you were doing that, and I thought to myself, this is not going to be a relaxing chaser. And then I was like, she's an adult. She can decide for herself.
You know, I feel cleansed in that my emotions have, like, I've experienced all of them. I've just gone through the full human possible range in the past 12 hours, 24 hours at this point. And yeah, most of them grief at this point is what I'm deeply, deeply immersed in.
Oh, this book had every emotion and... Like, the first, like, third, I was like, I don't know, this is just, like, the only emotion I'm feeling is sad about these kids. And then, stuff started happening!
I have no memory of how much of what my brain has recorded as, like, the ending of Animorphs is actually in the second to last book of Animorphs, but it's a lot. It is a lot, a lot. It is really a two-part finale, and I feel really bad that we broke on a cliffhanger, but we sure super did.
This book ends on such a cliffhanger that, like, at least we don't have to wait a full month
to
read the next one.
Right, we got 2 weeks.
I feel like, actually, the last books had longer than a month. I have to double check.
Oh.
Like, I feel like there was some, like, publishing stuff going on. Anyway.
Big mood for sure.
Sorry for all our listeners who have to hear me yelling.
You know what? I'm not sorry. Ooh, we suffered. Ooh, you too, dear reader, can suffer a little bit with us. So this is book 53 of 54.
The answer.
Mm.
I will say that you should look at the inside cover of this book because it is... an image I don't like.
Oh no. Oh no, I did not look at the inside cover of this book.
Oh, it's just a little snake hanging out with a huge crowd of taxons.
Oh, I hate that. I don't care for that. All the taxon descriptions in this book, really spooky. Taxons still creep me out.
Bad time.
Yeah.
Bad time.
Mm-hmm.
I do have warm feelings towards them, I guess, by the time.
Do you mean you have warm feelings or worm feelings? Or all of the above?
I have snake feelings for these creatures.
Sure.
But
deep worms, big snakes, can't lose.
Can't lose! Okay, so last book, they destroyed the Irk Pool.
Yes.
That resulted in a lot of people dying, but made the Irks really mad.
Not Guess sure what? That's actually a plus.
Guess what? That's real bad for everyone.
Right. Remember how at the end of the last book, some of their hometown was a crater? At the opening of this book, their entire hometown is a crater because the Yurks have responded to the pool destruction by just saying, okay, cool. This is how you want to play it? Great.
Yeah.
We're just going to level all of Nowheresville, California. Yeah, whatever town, CA.
It does open. I think, like, the first paragraph is like, they're attacking the elementary school.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The elementary school burns to the ground on, like, in the first couple of sentences. So that's,
you know,
chill.
So, like, you know what you're getting into, I guess.
Yes.
Oh,
my God. This book, Jake, this is a Jake book, we should specify.
Yeah.
I have a lot of feelings about Jake.
Jake is, like, emotionally... mentally, morally going on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
He is
on Mr. Bones' wild ride, and he cannot get off, and neither can I.
I started this book just being so sad for him, and by the end I was kind of mad, but also in awe. Like,
it's really good is the thing. Is it such an effective portrait of, like, I care deeply about this boy, and I'm also so deeply troubled and upset by what he's become. And Cassie, oh my god. Okay. I can't just say and every character in this book, but also every character in this book is a devastating portrait of a broken teen.
And they're all like Jake says specifically that his last name is Berenson.
Yeah.
Like, and he does his little narration and he says, like, we don't have anything to hide anymore because, like,
it's too late. It's too late for secrets. Yeah.
He says that they're 16 now.
There were 13 when this all started 3 years ago. I know. That is so young. Reading these books, like, how old were we when the final ones came out? Probably like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So then 16 seemed impossibly old, but so looking back on it
now. Like, yeah, now I'm like, that is a baby.
That's a child.
So, oh my god. So,
the Yurks blow up their hometown.
Yeah. The Anwarfs are like, we gotta do something.
Why are they making such a big deal of this crater? I mean, we understand it as a war, but they specifically seem to be leveling out this giant area instead of targeting, like, nearby population centers. Yeah. Wonder what they're planning. What they're planning is they're just gonna drop the Yurk pool ship, which is, like, I don't know, their mothership, basically, straight down in that big old hole.
And then they can finally eat because they're all super hungry and mad about it. Mm-hmm. I guess. I mean,
same.
Like,
I get hangry too. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So the Animorphs are like, "There's the pool ship. Mm-hmm. That's a good target." But Axe is like, "Hey, it's really hard to get onto that ship. They have like really tough computers that like I could try to decode, like crack or whatever, whatever the term is." But, like, it changes every 15 minutes, and so, like, we'd have a timer, and, like, it would be very dangerous, and all the parents are like, yeah, that's too dangerous, you shouldn't do it, leave this up to the army, you're just a bunch of kids.
Ugh, parents in this book, little rough.
They just don't understand. Except for Eva, who's a little bit.
Oh, Visser Mom, my favorite.
Visser Mom. Jake is still mad at Cassie.
Yeah.
He says that, like, he refers to her giving Tom the morphing cube as her fatal mistake, which is intense.
Yeah. And he kind of, dismisses the parents, and just keeps the core group of Animorphs to continue talking about, like, okay, we've heard that the adults don't want us to do this, but we know we're gonna have to do something with the pool ship. What are we gonna do? Why not try to steal it?
Yeah, and Toby says, well, there's a bunch of Hork-Bajir on there. We can probably free some of them, and that would give us a big advantage. And I do like that Rachel says, that's my girl. Yeah. And I was like, oh, was yeah, good. you love the knife blades. Yes. You love that.
I support them.
So,
I keep losing track of where I am in my notes because I will read one sentence and then get sideswiped by a blow of sorrow so devastating that I just have to take a breath to recover. Also, this is a really dense book and a lot happened.
Yeah, and like Jake accidentally slights Cassie when he says who they'll need on the team.
Which is everyone except for Cassie, essentially. Yeah. Like he carefully lists like Marco and Axe and Rachel and Tobias and Toby. And that's it. Everyone else leave.
Yeah. He even mentions Ava. Like, oh, yeah. Right, she's not even an Animorph. And Cassie's very upset. But Jake's like, no, like, I've got this great plan. We're just going to have to, like, you know how usually we have a diversion and then we do what we need to do? This time we're going to, like, be up there. And then the diversion will distract them from the fact that we're not even there. We're already, like, and then, like, in his narration, he's like, I don't really have a plan yet.
I hope this works. Sweet Tobias, who is a background superstar in this book, straight up tells Jake, like, you can't treat Cassie like that. That's super wrong. Jake kind of brushes it off and sends Tobias off on an assignment to figure out what, like, this big column of smoke is that they all saw earlier. And then later he kind of apologizes half-heartedly to Marco because he couldn't stand apologizing to Tobias, which was a neat way of showing you, like, Jake is really conflicted. Like, he recognizes this was wrong, but he also can't admit it was wrong to anybody but his other really close friend, Marco.
It's rough. And there's also, like, a part where Tobias is like, I'm not going to tell Cassie that you need to talk to her right now. You're going to have to do that yourself. And then Jake is like, hey, Marco, get everyone here. I was like, oh, Jake.
Yeah. Oh, Tobias as moral center is good. But it also makes the end of this book so harsh.
Oh, my God.
So everybody's got their missions. Jake sends Marco and Axe to figure out who's in charge of the military in the area because they're going to use them as a big diversion. Yeah.
They have to, like, hack into databases.
Scoop Boys are on the
case. Scoop Boys are on the case.
They have to find the Chi.
The Chi are, like, their house. Yeah, the Chi house was destroyed, so they don't know for sure where they are.
Right.
They assume that they've survived somehow, but they don't know where they are hiding. So, they need to go talk to this army man. They go to the base. They start talking to him.
Yeah. It's like a cute description of, like, this is very tight security. We penetrated it in 2 seconds just by being dragonflies. Like, humans do not know what they're defending against.
How could I forget that they're a little... they do mention that it's, like, the Alien Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the goofy name.
The ATF.
It was like ATF-1 or something. I did like the mention that they had clipboards and Palm Pilots.
Yeah, that's good.
It blasted me back to the past of seeing my mom have a Palm Pilot, not being sure how it works.
I still don't know.
Yeah.
What did I just watch? I feel like in Speed Racer.
That future in Speed Racer. Movie.
I will talk about Speed Racer more in Book Corner, everybody had futuristic Palm Pilots in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they break through security, and there's a really funny scene that I clung to like a drowning man where, Jake demorphs in front of the general ties him up, 3 minutes later he's back in the office again talking to the general, and then this happens four more times.
Yeah. Like, he keeps being like, okay, general, do you believe me yet? Let me morph real quick and show you, and then the general's like, I can't.
Yeah. Tie him up and take him away, boys. I never want to see him again. And three minutes later, this teenager is, like turning into a fly on his table again.
As I said.
Yeah.
So the general's, like, starting to come around. But then the Yurks show up. They, like, blast through a wall. The rest of the Animorphs, thankfully, are also there. So they, like, start battling.
Mm-hmm. There's a great moment where they all finally make it to Battle Morph. And they're getting ready to confront the Hork-Bajir out in the corridor. Axe leaps out first. One of the controllers shouts, Andalite! And Axe says, surprise! Which is so good!
And then in the narration, Jake is like, Axe has kind of learned about humor. And I was like, there aren't many good moments. Yeah. There aren't many happy times.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Pinterest board that's just of my few bright feelings in this book. So they managed to get the general out. Jake nearly dies. It's really upsetting. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's super almost dead. But then, thankfully, James and the rest of his team are there. So they managed to pull him out and get him to demorph.
Yeah. And they tell the general, here's what we're going to need you to do. Take as many people as you can. And you're going to have to go lock yourselves in a bunker for 3 days. And we'll see you then.
Okay, so then we'll know you're not controllers. No big deal. Bye. Uh-huh. So they regroup. Tobias tells them that the cloud of smoke that he went to investigate was the site of a future Yurk pool, which is way less profesh than the previous one. This is just like Taxons digging a giant hole in the ground.
This is not your Olympic swimming pool. This is like the swimming hole that you go to in the summer, and you might catch a horrible parasite from being in.
In a very real sense.
Yeah. So they're having I think they're even calling them war councils at this point about, like, what are we going to do? We have to disrupt this new Yurk pool construction because otherwise, like, if the Yurks have a new food source, there's no reason for the pool ship to stay. So they're just going to lift it off into the sky. And, there goes our chance. What do we do? How do we possibly stop this pool from being constructed? Yeah. They've got diggers, but mostly what they've got are taxons who are eating their way through the earth to carve out this pool.
And Cassie is the one who's like, we should take out the digging equipment. And then they're all like, wait, you mean taxons? Mm-hmm. And Cassie, who is now, like, hardened in certain ways, is like, yeah, that's what we have to do.
It's so hard to read. She's, like, looking away from them and looking down at the ground. And Rachel's all obviously completely on board for, like, yes, this is the only practical thing. It's what we have to do.
Rachel, in this book, like, earlier on when their parents are arguing about how they shouldn't do anything, Rachel was like, her mom was like, I'm not going to let my daughter go on some kind of suicide mission. And Rachel was just like, of course I'm going. Like, I think Jake in his narration is saying how all the other kids kind of act a little bit different around their parents. Like, they try to hide their full Animorph,
what they've had
what
to
they've
do.
Become.
Yeah.
But Rachel just is always the same person. Mm-hmm. And so, it's like all of the kids, you can see them
putting on, not code switching, but putting on their, parent voices when they're trying to talk to their families. And Rachel's just like, no, Mom, this is what's going down.
Yeah. And, all of these kids are so messed up by all this. It's, so well done, but also I'm so upset for these kids. So they're going to have to go take out some taxons.
Yeah. And Jake, so they're doing this planning, and Jake gives the order. He's never done this before, I don't think. I think the order, the standing operation has always been, disable people when you can. This is the first time he said you have to go and kill them. Your job is just to get in there and kill as many taxons as you possibly can. And then in the first of many upsetting lines about war, he says, yeah, I'm giving the order to kill them. Dress it up however you want. That's what war is about. If there's glory in there, I must have missed it.
Yeah, it's in his narration, even just through this book, but also through all of his books, you can hear him, rationalizing what he's doing more and more. And it's like, he doesn't have a choice. There's nothing else they can do. But you can hear him, at this point, he's at a point where he's like, well,
this is just this war.
And then, by the end of this book, he's in a really
upsetting.
Rough place.
He's in a dark, horrible, horrible narrative place, and it's executed so well, and it broke my little wretched heart.
Yeah, it's really rough. Yeah. So
they're gonna go kill a bunch of taxons.
Jake brings up the Civil War when he's talking about. I was like, oh yeah, he's a war nerd.
Right.
So fight a bunch of taxons. It's gross.
A lot of murder, a lot of we all nearly died, and then we all nearly died again, and then we all nearly died again.
It's all good.
Yeah, everyone else gets away. They succeed in doing the murder that they set out to do, and Jake gives the order to retreat, but before he can get out, the ground literally opens up beneath him.
And he falls down, and he meets a character I thought we would never see again.
Yeah!
It's Arbron. The Nothlet from Andalite Chronicles, who's stuck as a taxon and has been trying to organize them to, be free and peaceful. But as he tells Jake, it only works for so long. Taxons get hungry. They can only be non-cannibalistic and, peaceful for so long. They can't help it. So he's talking to Jake and saying, hey, I'm, the leader of this group of taxons who are not controllers. We're free and we want to help you in exchange for being given the ability to morph.
Mm-hmm. And not just to morph, but to, to choose a different permanent form. To choose a form that's, close to our own, but that isn't...
always hungry.
That doesn't have this debilitating level of hunger constantly. Right, that makes it literally impossible for them to think beyond that.
Yeah, which, of course, I didn't think that I wanted for the taxons to, have an end to this terrible existence, but now I really do.
Yeah, no, I'm very invested.
And also, he mentions that, the controller taxons are mad that the taxons that are being controlled are mad that the Yerks gave, because it sounds like there were just Yerks who got morphing powers in addition to controllers. Human controllers with morphing powers, and they were mad that taxons were never chosen
to get not in an oversight, but in a very deliberate, Arbron is right with his reading of, the Yerks are doing this because they know they can control the taxons because they can wield their hunger like a weapon, and if they gave them the power to morph, they would lose that that threat, essentially.
Which is something I didn't consider, but makes total sense, and is really cool, as they, of course, this faction of aliens would be upset about that.
Yep.
I didn't consider it. So
it's good. Animorphs, good books, it turns
good,
out.
Actually. You know, when things aren't heartbreaking and confusing. Yeah. And, so
Jake is very honest with Arbron. Yeah. We don't have the morphing cube.
Yeah.
And Arbron's like, no, we know. I appreciate your honesty, but we're aware that your faction doesn't have it. But still, we know because of how they've been behaving that Visser One and the Yerks would literally never allow taxons to have the morphing power. And the only way we can have a chance at it is if the humans win this war.
Yeah. So he begins to tell him we have these conditions. we don't hear about them until Jake flies back to the rest of the team and explains it. He flies right back to the valley. Everyone assumed he was dead.
Yep. Cool. Super chill. Cassie runs up to him crying and then stops short of hugging him because they're in such a bad place, which breaks my heart.
I did like that Marco was like, guess I don't get to keep your CD collection. I was like, oh, Marco. Oh, Marco. Oh,
baby. We do have, I think, the first human death on the Animorph side. One of James's people in the auxiliary Animorphs, Ray, died off screen in the middle of the Taxon fight, and Jake only hears about it when he gets back because he missed it in all of the fighting.
I did like that, like, there's another character who dies later, and they make a point to name them.
Yeah.
Which, like, as a reader, I know nothing about these characters except, like, they were on this team. But, like, giving them a name is so effective in making me suddenly be like, oh, that's, like, a kid with a life.
Yeah, we can talk later about the way the auxiliaries are treated. Oh. We'll get to that. It's bad. Yes, but I agree that the more detail you get about them, the more effective of a weight those deaths carry. But it super sucks anyway.
It's a lot.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Oh, first, we have to get through some other difficult passages.
Yeah, so Jake's like, at this point, Jake is like super excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had been in a super low place, and now he feels like he can see how they can fix everything. So he's like really giddy, and like it's a little bit like manic, and like a little bit like, you know, something, like, you know, this can't last as a reader. And so Jake is like, okay, no big deal. So I found this guy, Arbron, and Axe does confirm that is the name of the guy who was
hanging with Alaran and Elfangor way back when.
So, like, that name checks out, but I don't know if I believe you. And Jake is saying, well, like, they have these conditions, which are they have to get the Andalite High Command, like, they have to get the Andalites to agree to the morphing thing, and then also to like, join them.
But if they can do this, there are over 1,000 Taxons who want to defect and fight with them, which is more people on their side. Probably at this point, Jake is thinking in terms of soldiers. So more soldiers on their side than they've literally ever had before.
And Axe, like, they're all kind of like, well, we don't know how to contact the Andalites. I don't know. And then Cassie just goes, Axe, you have to tell them. Which, apparently, she snuck aboard, like she snuck
Axe's
aboard
little raccoon morph
as a flea and, like, listened at least one of the times when he was contacting Andalite High Command, because she knows that he defied their commands in the last book. So he has to reveal that to everyone, and he kind of is, it's rough, because he's
so hard.
Because he's like, they won't agree to give anyone else morphing powers.
Right. And by the way, they want the Yerkes to concentrate their power here so that they can just destroy the entire planet and the Yerkes with it. Yes. Eva in the background is just like, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, that checks
out. Sounds about right. And Rachel, like, says she'll kill him. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And then Jake is even like, I also wanted her to kill him, but I wanted to hear what he had to say. And, like, I think he's also thinking, well, Arbron knows how the Andalites are, so when he asked me this, did he, like, he's, like, weighing all of these different things in his mind as he's trying to decide this, but also he's reacting like an upset kid about, like, this lie that Axe told. So
Axe's last hope, like, the thing at the bottom of the Pandora's box here is that the people who have made this decision to just murder an entire planet are the Andalite High Command and not the Andalite people. So Axe kind of makes this casual throwaway comment to, like, this war has gone on so long that this Council of War has taken on, like, a greater importance in our government than it really should. But if we can actually, like, WikiLeaks this info out to all of the people, I think we will be able to get the majority of the Andalites on our side. Like, the ones who are just at home and not caught up in this war, or, like, the war culture that Andalite soldiers are steeped in.
Which is really cool, because it's kind of using, like, Axe's arc of realizing what the High Command... And also, Elfanger's, like, whole arc in Andalite Chronicles of, like, realizing what the High Command... Like, the choices
What war that, is like, yeah.
What war is like, and also, like, the choices that the High Command are making that are, like, not that much different from their greatest shame, which was what they had to do after Ciro gave the Hork-Bajir. Like, it's all
tied in together.
That,
it is a horrible history.
And I also didn't, it's another thing that I didn't consider that they could do until I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like, that's so smart. But before they can do that, they have to suffer through all of this book. All these bad things happen.
So Arbron wants Jake to go back alone and talk to the whole group of Taxons and Morph and demonstrate, like, the possibilities of what they could do with this power. Yeah. Jake says Arbron wants them to do something probably not too different from their actual form, so he needs everyone's help figuring out what that should be.
And at this point, he and Cassie are kind of back. Like, he feels warmer towards her again because it turns out that, like, she was sort of suspecting that maybe... Like, I don't know how much of it was, like... Like, because in her previous book, she didn't seem to have a specific concept of what would happen if the Yurks had the Morphing Cube. But by this book, it seems like she started to suspect that, like, oh, wait, the Taxons might want this.
Yeah, that thread is really... It's interesting, and it's hard to figure out how much is meant to be... Like, Cassie subconsciously did have the thought that giving the Yurks the Morphing Cube would allow them to see them and the Taxons to see a way out of this that wasn't complete and utter devastating war. And how much is, like, her trying to rationalize and retcon a really emotional decision she made in the heat of the moment. I don't think either way is right. I don't think there's a better answer. I think they're both, like, compelling ways to look at a hard decision that she made.
Yeah,
I love Cassie so much. She is the beating heart of this book, and I am so upset.
She's so good. So, like, Jake is suddenly, like, allowing himself to remember how much he loves her. Like, earlier in the book, it was like, I love her, but I can never forgive her. But now he's kind of flipped on that, and he's like, Cassie, you were the one who had all these good intuitions. Like, you should be the one to help us decide. Like, do you have any ideas? And Cassie's like, well... I have one idea. And then they go to the gardens and she finds this cool python and is like, look, it's a really big snake. Cause like caterpillars and stuff, like they only live so long and they like change form. Snakes, they live a long life.
They just take a lot of naps. It's really cool.
They eat like once a month, or once a week, or whatever. Yeah. Like, and they just hang out in the sun. And she was like, also we can in the future, they can wall off the Amazon rainforest.
Right, it's like, this will protect the rainforest from poachers. Yeah. It's like, Cassie, you're thinking so long term.
Cassie, you are a golden light.
Yes, she is a shining beacon of hope. And then we go from that.
Although, I will say, I don't know if a thousand snakes being loosed upon the Amazon will be great.
How does that affect the ecosystem? Right, great questions. Like, well, every other species died, but these snakes are doing great. It's fine.
But you know what? I don't want to worry about it.
I have no concept. I don't like thinking about how many dangerous creatures there are on the planet, so I have no concept of how many snakes are already in the Amazon rainforest or other places where they could just kill me. Yeah. It could be more than 1,000.
I'm just like, what are they going to eat if there's that many snakes? They're going to have to loose a bunch of other stuff. But hey.
And this is a swallow the spider to catch the fly situation. I know exactly how it's going to end.
This is going to be the next book series. Animorphs.
Too many snakes?
Too many snakes! but you know what? I wish that was their biggest problem.
Oh my god, me too. So we go from this cozy conversation about Florida retirement for Taxons into one of the roughest conversations in this book.
It's so, like, dark and sad, and, like, it is on the surface happy, which is what makes it the most dark and sad, because Jake is like, Cassie, I love you. Do you want to get married?
Let's talk about the future. I'm so excited about all the possibilities for, like, what we can do with all these intelligent people. He's riding the high of,
I have all these people
on our side. Yeah.
And Cassie has to be like, Jake, when you think about the future, what do you see yourself doing? Because I don't know where you're going to be when this is over.
I don't know who you're going to be when this is all done.
Because she even says, like, I'm going to be a doctor. I can do that. And I think, like, when you're a doctor, you see some stuff and you can move forward. Like, she seems like she has a good perspective on all this, whereas Jake has been eaten whole by his responsibilities as the leader. Mm-hmm. And he can't even think past, like, this battle. And he, like, when he tries to think about the future, he says that it scares him and he's... upset, and this is his like conscious mind, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, there's a moment where he says very defensively, like, I'm gonna be fine, I'm not Rachel, which is like, you are trying too hard to convince yourself that you're not walking a very similar path. Yeah.
Cassie
is crying all through this, by the way. When Jake asks her if she wants to get married, she's like immediately just starts sobbing and holding his hand through the rest of this talk. She's so mature and grown up though, to like be able to think not just about like,
oh my God,
what will happen if we succeed, but like, where is this person who I love deeply going to be, and does it make sense for us to do this no matter how we feel right now?
And so also she's having the conversation right then. Instead of
oh sure, let's talk about it later, honey.
We'll totally get married. And then like in 6 months. So when I said that.
Yeah. I thought we were both gonna die tomorrow. Yeah. So
I wanted to give you a tiny blip of happiness because I knew we might die.
Yeah. So instead where she lands is like this deeply sorrowful decision of like, if it ends, if we win, a year afterwards, if you want to be with me, then we can talk about it. And I love you, and we just have to focus on tomorrow for right now. I am getting worked up just talking about this. It is so good.
I want these kids to be happy.
I know.
Okay. So Jake goes back to talk to Arbron.
This brief comedy interlude.
The rest of the kids crawling on him as fleas.
Yes. And where Arbron has sent Jake is to sit in a VW bug just on the edge of the Yerk pool. So Jake is sitting in this car hanging out with his flea buddies.
Yeah. And
this is the Andalite Chronicles, right? Because Elfangor drove his Mustang straight into the taxon chute?
Jake doesn't have a foot bath of Dr. Pepper.
Foot bath of Dr. Peps. That is not one of the features of a Volkswagen Beetle, unfortunately.
Can we even call this a joyride? If you aren't slurping up Dr. Pepper with your foot.
This is their controversial new campaign of, it's not a joyride without my foot bath. I won't go.
Volkswagen, where's my foot bath? Dr. Pepper,
enjoy your feet. Dr. Pepper, let's get our tootsies wet.
Dr. Pepper, that delicious foot flavor.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. So... sorry, I gotta take my emotional dial all the way down.
I was like, I can feel us desperately clinging to anything. Yes.
No, I too have shades of Jake's mania going down right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So he rides this horrible gut chute down deep underground in a car full of his flea friends.
Yup. He's like, what's up, Arbron? Really hoping none of these guys eat me.
Right. He is surrounded by like hundreds of taxons standing on like a little plinth, like a beautiful steak that you've placed upon a silver platter.
And he is morphed a taxon. He knows how hangry they get. He knows that they're all just doing their best, but they get hungry. So he does, like, a cool, like, morphing showcase.
I enjoy the Jake circus.
He's like, I morphed a dragonfly, and then I turned back to human, and then I morphed, like, something else, and then I morphed the snake, and they were all really impressed. And then he, like, gives them, like, a little speech about how, like, snakes are really great. And
yeah, that's basically it. It's not like, hungry. The snake is chill.
The snake is not hungry. Yeah. It ate one mouse, and it's good to go for a while.
Yep.
And Arbron's like, good job, buddy. and then
Arbron dismisses the rest of the taxons. He's like, cool, it sounds like they'll listen to me for now. By the way, your friend should demorph.
Yeah, and Jake's like, oh, let's just play it cool. Like, yeah, they should they'll be more comfortable if they demorph. And then Arbron's like,
my friend.
Yeah, and guess who it is? Tom's controller. I was like, of course! Guess
what? This is also very hard to read. Yeah. Guess what? Tom's not happy.
Yeah. Which also, I do like this payoff, though, of books and books and him being former Visser 3's lackey.
Yeah.
Like, even more than Chapman, it makes sense that this guy would be like, I have been kicked around. My own host's brother was an Animorph. I didn't even know. I could have had 18 promotions.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. It's such good inter-office politics garbage. It's just I've been passed over time and time again, and I should have been promoted to sub-vicar in a very low number by now, and I've been cleaning up his messes, and he doesn't appreciate me, and I just want to feel respected, you know?
It's
so good.
If I didn't have the emotional tragedy of this character, mm-hmm. I would love this, especially since he himself refers to it. He's like, office politics, you don't care.
No, I do. I would love to spend more time in the horrible Yerkes office politics world. Literally Please. Anything else other than seeing Jake face off with Tom.
It's rough. So, Tom is saying, well, me and my host both can morph. I can even morph my host. It's great. But we're really, really sick of Visser 1. And then he spins some BS about, the Yerkes would like to leave and live a better way. We don't want the council. And then he's like, but really, I'm sick of Visser 1, and I want to be in charge instead of him. And he says, well, you can say no, and you can hack that ship. I know that you're going to want to, but I messed with the codes, so you need my key.
My hacker code key. My decryption key.
Yeah, to get in, because otherwise it's, every 30
you won't
seconds.
Be able to, you won't be able to unlock it in time, essentially, unless you cooperate with me to take down Visser 1 and make me the head honcho.
Yeah. So Jake is like, okay, I know that he is also going to double cross me somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't trust this Yerk, but he will give me the keys. he believes that Tom wants to betray Visser 1 enough that he will betray him first, and then the Animorphs.
Yep. And the other Animorphs are all weighing in, too, because they've all demorphed and are hanging out. So Axe brings up the excellent point that you can't let 100 Yerkes have the blade ship. They are definitely just going to go take this massive military power and go take over some other species. The Andalites would be fine, but no other species can stand against it. And Tom says to Jake, little brother, you have to know by now, wars aren't won with clean hands.
Ugh.
It hurts. It hurts me a lot.
He will not stop referring to Jake as little brother.
No, it's or so Jake, or Big Jake the Yerk Killer, which is another great epithet. Love that.
And he keeps calling Rachel cousin Rachel. It's so dark.
Oh, it's so spooky.
But it's also it's really good. It's really effective.
Yeah. So they say, okay, for now, I guess we'll do this thing. And all the Animorphs leave and go back to the valley to debrief.
I think around now is when Jake snaps at them for calling the Yerk in Tom.
Yeah. Oh, that was hard.
But he is also, he is willing to do whatever. I think at this point he's assuming he's going to have to kill or order Tom killed, or Tom will die at some point. I think he's trying to resign himself to that, but he's still that Yerk isn't Tom. Tom is in there, and he's suffering through all of this. Don't call him Tom. And all the other kids don't, they aren't surprised by that, emotional explosion.
Yeah, they know where Jake is at, and it is not a good place.
Not good.
So Jake and Cassie have another really hard conversation about, morality and shades of gray, and Cassie is blaming herself for being the one who gave Tom Zierk the morphing cube in the first place. So now she's the reason where they're in this position where they're considering making a deal with the devil, essentially. We'll use your help to get to the pool ship and take it over and use it to broadcast to Andalite people and not just the High Command. And in exchange, we'll just send you off on your way to merrily ruin an entire other galaxy. But we don't have to worry about that. They're not our people.
And Jake starts to put together a plan that he says, he was like, I could see it from A to Z.
Yeah.
It made perfect
sense. Yeah, he calls it, the clear, thin line. Yeah. Or he uses almost the same wording that Marco talks about when Marco talks about, the ruthless, done without any thought for emotions or feeling kind of plan sight.
I think
he does this while he's talking with Cassie. He's I know she was talking, but I couldn't hear her anymore because I could see a way to beat Tom and win this entire game.
Yeah, and I think he even says at some point that Marco would understand this ruthlessness. So Jake doesn't tell us the plan. We, the reader, have to go through this roller coaster of Jake desperately hoping everything works out, but also being horrified with himself at what some parts of this plan are.
Right. Right. So what he does tell us is, like, I'm going to have to use all of my friends. I'm going to have to give them orders that I know are very likely to result in their deaths. So here we go.
Yeah. And he says something like, I'm at the end of this, like, thing, best case scenario, I'm probably going to lose someone, maybe more than someone.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, first of all, we need to find Eric the Chi. So he sends Marco off, like, you got to go get that dude. We need
I will not take no for an answer. Do not bring back a dog. Yeah. I need actual Eric the Chi.
And, like, I know he can't do war stuff, but just don't worry. I'll explain later.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I need one person to have one specific part of the plan that I will not reveal to the audience, but it's very dangerous and I can't tell anyone else about. Mm-hmm. It can only be Rachel. I need other people for other parts of the plan. And so he goes to Rachel. We don't hear what he tells her, but yeah. She's like, okay.
Yeah. And he tells her, you can't tell Cassie about this. She can't know in advance. Yeah. She loves us both and she would never forgive herself if she thought she could have stopped it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And Rachel says some other ominous stuff. Like, if it comes to that, it won't be the Yerk. It'll be Tom. And Jake is just like, I know. Please stop talking about this. And just do your thing.
It's so dark.
Yep.
So they do manage to find Eric.
Right. Marco nearly dies.
Yeah, again. Yeah, no, don't big worry deal. About it. Yeah. He almost dies in this adventure we don't even see.
Yep.
But they find Eric the Chi. He does confirm that all the dogs are safe, yeah. And so are the other Chi. Thank goodness.
However, we go immediately from that lighthearted note to an extremely difficult place, because in order to get Eric to cooperate with this plan, which normally his programming would prevent him from participating in, they've decided to just take hostages and start killing them if Eric does not comply.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do start with only one hostage.
This is true.
They have Chapman, which poor Melissa Chapman.
I know.
Somewhere... Anyway, Chapman is there, and he is being held hostage. Jake is like, hey, Axe, you'll kill him if I tell you to, right? And Axe is like, definitely. And so Jake is like, what's up? If you don't heed my orders, you are going to result
directly in... cause this person's death. Yeah. Like, I'm going to bend the second or third law of robotics as much as I possibly can so that you have to help me here.
Yeah,
it's Eric is very unhappy with this.
He definitely curses at Jake in like, shouldn't this up a TV? Oh, he's never not.
Breaks out a Sumerian cuneiform tablet. He's like, here, I wrote down some horrible curses for you to study later at your leisure. And also, I'm 1,000 years old, by the way.
I will say that in hindsight, the stuff they ask Eric to do are not that. Like, he is in a war, but he, like, the things that he's doing aren't, like, he's not fighting. So I was, like, frustrated, but I was like, I know this is, like, cheap programming and I shouldn't question, like.
I know. I was frustrated with Eric at the end of this book. I was really mad at Eric.
I was like, what he has to do is not that bad. Like,
right,
he's
and
just,
his reactions to it are
just trickery.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It's just japes. It's just gambles.
Yeah, it's a jape. But I get, I do like the dark turn of Jake being like, I know that you're uncomfortable with this, but I also
and I don't
know,
care.
Yeah, the loopholes in your programming that are going to get me to do what needs to be done, and this is how it's going to go. So, Eric has a part in the plan, which we are not told yet.
Axe's part in the plan is to go and lie to Andalite High Command, tell them that the Yerks have concentrated all of their forces on Earth. But if the Andalite High Command can just wait a little bit, Axe is going to hand them an entire pool ship. So please don't blow up Earth yet.
Please do not.
Please refrain.
I think this is when Jake talks to Doubleday, the general, and his dudes, and is trying to convince them to be their distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the army guys are like, you want us? I don't know if this battle thing is going to, like, this plan seems kind of weird. You have to, like, if you just try to surprise them, like, something, like, he tries to give him, like, wise advice.
Which is, like, reading this now, he's comparing what he's asking, Doubleday is comparing what Jake's asking to the charge of the Light Brigade, which is like, oh, That super is what it is. This is Jake saying, I don't care what you say. I don't care what your men are feeling. I just need you to do this, you know, this last ditch charge against an impossible enemy that is literally outgunning you. They have alien weapons. You are all just going to die. But this is what I need you to do so that we maybe have a chance of winning this fight in war.
Yeah. And the general is saying, like, you are, like, you use guerrilla tactics. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do. Like, your enemy, something about, like, if your enemy has, if you have a big enough hammer.
Yeah. You can, it doesn't matter if you don't have tactics. Right. Because Jake is like, don't worry about Visser One. He doesn't know strategy, but I do. He's like, no, but he has a very big gun, and we are very small human bodies.
Did we forget to mention? Bladeship's got that, like, giant Drake on
you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. Like a giant microwave gun, essentially. Yeah, and if it points at you, you cook to death slowly.
It's all gone. So... Yeah.
The only other people I think he gives a specific task on screen are James and all the auxiliary animorphs.
Yeah.
This is a hard one, folks. It is upsetting and troubling.
This is... messy, like,
yeah,
it's frustrating because we only just met these kids like 2 books ago, and they're basically now, like, after reading this book, it's clear that, like, they were set up so that there would be, like, expendable characters.
Yeah,
in this
literally
book,
cannon fodder. Yeah, it's
not
frustrating.
Great.
Yeah, like, and I think that's compounded by the fact that we see so little of them in the first place.
Yeah.
And again, I understand that there are limitations in publication time and page space, and there are a lot of other contributing factors, but it's really hard to read this group of kids, not get a chance to be fleshed out on the page, and literally, like, Jake's orders to them are, you have to stand with Doubleday and his men to, like, make Visser One believe the Animorphs are all down there, so I'm just sending you there to die.
And it's like, with the Chi, Jake is... basically telling everyone, like, you don't have a choice this time. I'm telling you what you have to do. Like, with Axe, he was saying, I'm not asking you to lie to your people. I'm telling you you have to. And so with James, he's saying, like, because James is like, hey, like, one of our team died. We're all not really sure about going into a battle right now. Like, we're upset. And Jake is like, you can't, we don't have time for this. You have to just do what I'm saying.
Right. And he's framing it as, like, this is literally the last stand. This is, if we do this, this is all or nothing. If we do this, we will win this war. If we do not, then it is completely over for not just our little merry band, but also all of humanity.
Yeah.
Which is true and also exactly the sort of thing you say to yourself if you need to convince a bunch of human children to go sacrifice themselves.
Yeah. So that's great. Like, cool. Everyone does, like, you know, line into place to, like, execute this plan, but it's dark. So the rest of the Animorphs, like, Rachel is off doing something, and like, the other Animorphs are constantly asking, wait, where's Rachel? Is she gonna join up with us later? Or, like...
And Jake is always just like, oh, she'll take care of herself. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Like, Marco even says, like, you know, you're turning into Rachel. Where is she? And it's like, a little bit funny, but also really, really scary because we know someone is going to die. And, like, I know which character dies. So the whole time I'm like, is it now? Or is it later? Or So there's, like, actual stakes for once because I know the series is ending, which is kind of great.
Yeah. So... we're doing the plan. Jake is a bird. He's flying over top of the pool ship. He's thinking through how all of the pieces have fallen into place. The first piece that falls into place is Jake the bird, probably Peregrine Falcon, I don't remember at this point, falling out of the sky and into the back of a Humvee.
And Tom's controller says it's very unsettling when you do that, and Jake is like, good.
I liked that. That was a good, touching, terrible moment.
Like, they have, like, some their conversations are all really intense, and there's a lot going on, but I like when they're, like, working together, but they hate each other, but they're working together.
Oh, that's such a good trope. Yeah. No, I will eat that up all day.
That's a delicious treat amongst, and then literally...
a horrible snack, and a amuse-bouche before the war, if you will.
Yeah, and then, like, literally the next paragraph is Cassie appeared to be lying in the backseat, handcuffed, beat up.
Jake demorphs. He, like, pats Cassie's wounds, like, yells at Tom Zierk for beating her up. Tom Zierk is like, it wasn't even satisfying. She didn't even cry, which is horrible. And Jake eventually is like, okay, we're going to go through security. I guess I have to keep going with the plan, even though I'm upset about Cassie.
Yeah. So they drive in. There's
Jake morphs fly. Yeah. We get up close to Cassie's eye, and he's like, says something very specific, like her faceted, like gleaming eye. I was like, oh, hang on. Something's going on here.
Well, especially since, like, he thought speaks out loud to Tom, and the tail end of his thing, he says, like, Tom, you stink. Cassie, are you okay? And then he's like, Cassie didn't respond, but I didn't expect her to, because it's right. Not Cassie.
Yeah.
Because guess what? That's the thing that they had to, like, hold someone hostage to get Eric to do, is to project a hologram of being Cassie. But okay.
Right. I would think that he's protecting Cassie from harm. So yeah. I think that takes greater priority, but I don't know how their brains are structured.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's still dealing with everything from when he got his little like brain part unlocked and he killed a bunch of people. But I'm still frustrated with him as a character.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I understand where he's coming from, but I'm still mad. Rachel is also in Morphin here. Jake thought speaks to her, but we don't know where she is or what she's doing.
Yeah. Neither do any of the other Animorphs.
Yep.
So the little truck drives up to the little, like, Yerk Pool checkpoint. They have a life form scanner, which they didn't expect. And it scans the wrong number of beings. Because I think
there are only two complex life forms here when there should be three. And Tom's like, I don't care about your toy. Obviously, there are three people here, which is such a great encapsulation of, like, how bad the Yurks are at New Tech.
There's also a lot of, like, do you really want Visser 1 to have to wait?
I can't believe you forgot his title. He is going to come down here right now, young lady.
There's just, like, a lot of, like, do you want to spend time doing things that will actually stop mistakes being done, or do you want Visser 1 to get what he wants now? So they managed to get through.
They're all the way through security. Tom is making comments that make it sound like he thinks all the other Animorphs are here on Cassie's body, too. Yeah.
which is on purpose. They want... Yes. This is part of the plan.
This is part of Jake's double cross plan, is make Tom believe this. So they make it through security, they're onto the pool ship, and eventually they find Visser 1 himself.
Visser 1. He gives
a lot of speeches in this book, and remember how I used to be like, wow, what a fun, cool villain. He's so great absolutely. To read, and I'm delighted by him on page. Little harsh now to see the full sociopathy out in force. I had forgotten that's only funny while he's incompetent, and the second he starts doing actual murder, kind of loses its glamour.
I will say, he also seems a little bit like he misses the old days.
Yeah, the glory days of youth when things were simpler and he could just scream a speech and then set something on fire a little bit.
It feels like when my cat tries to catch a mouse... he has a lot of fun trying to get it.
Oh, no.
But then once he does, he doesn't know what to do with it. And I have to be the one to take him gently and make him drop the mouse out the front door. Because he didn't even kill it. It's like that, where you just don't know what to do. Just so excited. Right.
The
and now,
is fun, but...
what do I do? What
right.
do I do?
What, it's, right. It is the end game, which is always a problem.
So... Tom is like, look, I got this Animorph. Aren't you proud of me?
You should give me the keys to your blade ship, Dad, just so I can take it for a brief joyride.
And Visser 1 is like, this is great. And he's like, this one is Cassie? Like, he knows their names. It's really uncomfortable.
It's so strange.
And he's like, I don't want to kill her right away. I'm going to make, like, I don't know. And Tom's like, yeah, you should keep her as, like, as bait. The rest of the Animorphs will probably show up.
Right. And by the way, here are 17 other things that are going really well for you, Visser 3. Like, the Animorphs are going to try a full frontal assault. You can take them all out right now. And then the Andalite High Command is around Jupiter, so you can go into Z-Space and just destroy all of them, too. And here, finally, at this point, Visser 3 is like, no. This is too much good
like,
luck at once.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets so paranoid, and for once, he's right. He's like,
yeah.
I've been tricked 300 times. But this time, I'm going to be careful. She might have her other buddies.
Not today.
She might have her other buddies hanging out on her. Mm-hmm. I remember them doing that before.
Right. Oh, right. The other thing Tom is like is, also, here's this Taxon who I captured, who is a member of the Taxon Resistance Surprise, but now that I have information from this Taxon, we can shut it down handily. So there's a Taxon in there, too.
So there, and he's like, what about the Gleep biofilter? And Visser One's like, they've beaten that before. We gotta have to figure something out. What if... And then Tom's like, what if we just, like, let the Taxon eat her? And Visser One's like, yeah, do it.
And it's like daring your bro to eat something horrible. Yeah.
And so, like, we see Cassie being eaten by this Taxon.
And Jake's narration is like, it looked very realistic. Yeah. She cried out in great pain, which is difficult.
Difficult. Tom is garbage and says, if you were there by some chance, little brother Jake, bye-bye.
Yeah.
But of course, it was all an illusion. Eric was projecting all of this, and Tobias was the Taxon, so...
Mm-hmm. So Eric rolls out of the way to safety. Tobias confirms that he chipped a couple teeth on Eric's robot body, but is otherwise fine. And Tom now thinks he has everything he wants, because the Animorphs are all dead. He's going to get the Blade ship, and then he's going to be able to destroy the Pool ship as he flies away to conquer other galaxies.
Yeah. This is plans within plans.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so Jake, part of the rest of Jake's monologue, when he's not like, oh, it hurts to see Cassie die, is him thinking through, like, wow, if I had trusted Tom, we really would all be dead right now. I'm glad I didn't. So now we get to the Pool ship takeover caper, which I hesitate to even call a caper because it's so painful.
It's a sad caper, and as they start to board the Pool ship, and as they're, like, flying away, Jake says that he hears Rachel thought speak, but it's getting farther and farther away, and he couldn't answer her, and she just says, doing good, huh, Jake? And so, the plan is all going according to plan, but at what cost?
What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean for our children?
So
a bunch of Hork-Bajir guards lead the Taxon away, but Jake tells us it's chill. The Hork-Bajir guards are all Toby's people. So now the Animorphs are all hidden on the Pool ship on Morph. There are 5 Animorphs, 12 free Hork-Bajir, and 1 Chi here to execute a takeover.
And on the ground, the army and the, like, James's team of Animorphs are all morphing, like, visibly morphing. So everyone can tell, like, oh, the Animorphs are here. Which Visser One is very excited about.
Yeah. Jake is worrying in the background, like, where are Eric and Axe? Their goal is to penetrate security and shut down the weapon systems before the Draken cannon can start firing. Because if they turn this big cannon on, it'll, like, after 30 seconds, it'll kill literally everyone on the ground if they fire it in this, like, weird dispersal way.
So they're trying to give Axe and Tobias enough time to do that, but it's taking longer than they thought. As a result, we get to watch Visser One murder people
from his airship. Really genuinely difficult to read. He is, like, reveling and delighting in it in the sort of way that one might succeed in stomping on a spider and be delighted about it. Like, absolutely really has no regard for sentient life. If we didn't know that before, we sure do now. He just, like, orders them taken out one by one. And most of it happens off screen, but the few times he's, like, delightedly talking about, like, aiming a little better to catch them. It's horrible. It's really hard.
Especially, like, the first one that they mention, like, is named Trisha. Like, they give her name. And, like, they think she's dead, but then she manages to start demorphing. And then they shoot her again. And, like, all of this is happening while Jake is, like, parked in Flea Morph, like, watching all this and thinking, like, I can't stop him right now because I need to give the rest of them time. Like,
right. Yeah, the last 10 pages, or, like, well, however many pages of this book, are, like, a slide that is slowly increasing in speed of Jake going fully down the road to rationalizing what he has to do in the name of winning the war. Like, he is focusing on this line to the exclusion of literally everything else. So he's saying to himself, like, I can't stop this. If I do that, then all this will have been in vain. It would just be an empty gesture and they would kill me anyway. So I just have to watch them die.
Yeah.
So he does.
And he's trying to get Mirko and Axe to work faster, but they can't. They can only, you know, work so fast in this ship. I think that the turn of Visser One of being, like, a fun villain to a horrifying villain is actually really good. Like, this is more horrifying than when he pulls out a like a wild morph.
Absolutely. Oh, no, it is so cold. He's like, oh, this is all recorded, right? So I can watch it later. Like, awful. I will really revel in enjoying these deaths.
It's like, really good, but really awful.
Yeah, so the auxiliary animorphs all die off-screen, essentially, off-camera. And I don't like that. No, I don't like how that was handled. I don't know a better solution, really, but it's hard.
So Jake hops onto Visser One's head?
Right. He's like, Axe told me about this blind spot. If you sit right between two Andalite stalk eyes, so that is where I'm going to perch my little flea body.
Which I do like. Axe admitted it was one of the only spots you can't see, and I was like, oh, this is something almost happy in this dark time. And he rides on Visser One as he, because he's like hearing from his crew who are like trying, like, who are like, hey, can you look away from murdering people really quick? We have like, there's some stuff going on. Like, I think it was like taxons are attacking each other or something in one of the lower decks. Like, there's some stuff going on this ship. Can you stop?
And Visser One's like, no, you can handle it without me. I have really important villain duties to carry out.
But eventually he has to go check it out. Cause he, I think one of the Horcbajir is like, oh, it looks like they have an animal wound. And Visser One's like, hold up, they're on here too.
Yeah.
Not again. So he goes to go check it out. Jake rides him towards where he's going and, like, manages to hop off and meet the other Animorphs in a different area.
Yeah.
So they're all okay for now.
But as they're regrouping, Cassie asks how things are going on the ground, and Jake has to tell her that James and all of the auxiliary Animorphs are dead, and so probably are most of General Doubleday's men. I don't know. I actually could not process whether that happened or not. I was so upset while reading this.
He also tries to not tell her, but, like, the rest of them all can tell he's doing that, so he has to eventually. It's
a lot. And then that finally prompts one of them to ask, wait, was Rachel on the ground with James? Where is she?
Yeah, and he eventually has to say, she's with Tom. And Jake is saying, we can't let Tom get away to the blade ship. So she's down there and she has to stop him.
Tobias is so angry. And
understandably.
Upset.
Yeah. And Cassie's really
upset. Cassie's
too.
So sad. Yeah, and Marco is just like, I understand that this has to happen.
Yeah, Marco says, had to be. Because he gets it, and that's really rough that he gets it.
Yep.
Eric, meanwhile, is refusing to let them get to the weapon system, so, like, they have to waste time.
He won't give them the codes for it. Yeah, so they have to figure out another way to get to the weapon system. Because the goal now is, if they can disable the blade ship, then Rachel won't have to kill Tom. So they're going to try to figure out a way to disable the ship and get her home.
So...
who's the other person who has access to the weapon systems? It's Visser One. So they're going to have to trap him and convince him to work with them.
Yeah.
So Jake calls Toby and says, it's time. Tobias in the background is saying, you have to find a way. You cannot let her die. Jake, do you hear me?
It's so rough. And they also are telling Toby to keep her troops in line, keep the engineering doors shut. Don't let anyone out.
Right. Hold it to the last person, which is paints quite a picture. So the goal is to, like, separate Visser One from all of the controllers, which they succeed in doing. But they still have to find a way to get Visser One to come to the bridge. So they need to get his attention is the goal right now. So they're running. They're attacking people. They're trying to, like, which one of these controllers can we knock out in a way that'll make it clear to Visser One that the problem is here and not in the engineering room and he should come after us.
Axe sees a booth that controls the pool in the Yerk pool ship.
Right. Right. Which I thought, oh, okay, it's a Yerk pool. It's like the pool ship pool. Probably not a lot of Yerks are here. Maybe it's like 100 of them.
No. They've got 1,700.
17,000.
Yeah. Oh, how could I?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of Yerks in this pool splishing and splashing. And
this is like, Jake has had so many hard turning points, but this is maybe the clearest one we have gotten on screen yet, because he stands here in this booth thinking about, I need to get Visser One's attention. you know, it would get his attention if I flush all of these Yerks out into the vacuum of space and kill 17,000 sentient creatures. Can I really do this? They have feelings. This is for victory and to save Rachel, but could I do this? And then quickly shifts into, how could I do this?
Yeah.
And from there leaps to, they're subhuman.
Yeah.
Nobody asked them to come to my home. I didn't deserve any of this. They're not even really sentient creatures. We should just flush them.
Yeah. It's like a, it's, although there is a part of me that like, is like, what, where's the question? You just kill them, get it. But like, I'm glad that Jake is struggling with it because you should struggle with this. Like, this should be hard. And seeing Jake have to like cope with it by like turning off his empathy completely and like become like, in his earlier books, I think he was talking about how like, or in Andalite Chronicles, they were talking about how, like, when you're in a war, you start to see the enemy as the other, and...
Right. And, right, othering people is the first step towards being able to kill them. Yeah. That is a, just a fact, and it's horrible.
But I do feel like, these Yerks are trying to destroy your home. It's complicated.
Yeah. But it's also, hearing him justify... I guess we didn't get to see as much of it on screen because Jake wasn't the narrator, but, like... The way he was talking about destroying the Earth-based Yerk pool, which is only, and I'm saying only with horrible big quotes, like 1,000 Yerks versus this. Like, the time pressure is different and the situation is different, but, like, the length of time he debated over that first step versus now to, like, a much larger feat of murder is rough to read. And then to read this and then think back about Cassie looking Jake dead in the eye and being like... I don't know who you're going to be in a year is rough.
Yeah, I'm...
And very good.
I'm so sad for him.
Yeah.
So they drain the pool. A bunch of Yerks die.
Yes. 17,000.
Yeah. Yeah. 17,372, which is...
there it is.
A big number.
Yeah. So this finally... has gotten the attention of Visser One.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, in his narration, Jake is like, this is all Visser One's fault, actually.
Yeah.
That's why they died. Like, it's really
It's so effective, and it hurts so much.
And it's like, especially since earlier in this book, Jake was, like, really suffering, and, like, he was not really relatable, but, like, you could completely understand, like, why he was so upset by all these things. And And now he's this cold, like... rationalization of how do I make myself live with this because I have to keep going with this plan.
Right. We're not done yet. I have to keep being General Jake.
Yeah. So Visser One runs out.
They meet him on the bridge. This scene is extremely good.
So good.
And like everything else, extremely upsetting.
Yeah. It feels like it's a really like, it feels
it's a
like,
good payoff. Yeah. Yeah. It feels like the final big confrontation.
Yeah. It feels like this has been coming and like there's a weight to it.
Yeah.
I think because it's kind of quiet, that makes it, like, way more intense than other times they've, like, met Visser One in battle. Because he just opens by saying, so you're not dead. and he even says, like, oh, you're the one called Jake, the brother of my security chief's host. Like, he knows their names, which is really,
like, he's been
spooky.
Studying up on them. Yeah. And they have, like, a very open conversation about, here's what's going to go down. The blade ship is going to attack. You have to fire on its engines to disable it so we don't all die. And Visser One kind of laughs to himself and explains, well, I can't control the weapon systems because someone has been bleeding power out of the Draken beams. At which point Jake is screaming at Eric to stop and not speak.
Eric!
Visser One is looking at Jake with all four eyes through this conversation also, which is a good Andalite spooky detail. And the rest of his villain speech is a lot of, it's a really good parallel to Jake's thinking because it's a lot of similar justification and rationalization of like, you didn't beat me. I was undone by my trust in my fellow officers. Yeah. I was not beaten by you. I've never been beaten by you.
Yeah. It feels like in this book we're seeing like, Visser One must be at this level all the time.
Yeah.
Which is exhausting. And of course, he's acting erratically because he's constantly paranoid and justifying everything he's doing and lashing out. And it's a lot. and I don't have sympathy for him. It's just interesting and tragic to see Jake becoming that. But also, like, you can team up with him to get Tom. So, oh, yeah, by the way, these are the last two pages of the book.
Right, sorry, BT dubs, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So, they're gonna try to fire on the blade ship with the limited power left in the Draken beams, but they're not gonna be able to do it at full power, and they only have two shots, two chances to take out the blade ship.
So they decide to video conference Tom on the other ship. And Visser One is like, you know that, like, your council will come after you. You can't get away with this. And Tom's like, LOL, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody likes you. And then he sees Jake behind Visser One. And he realizes that Jake isn't dead.
Somewhere in there, they try to shoot at the blade ship. They fire the first shot. It misses. They turn the cannons very slowly to try to fire a second shot. Second shot also misses.
So the end of the book is Tom telling his crew to target the pool ship. Tobias asking Jake to not make Rachel do this. And then Jake telling Rachel to go. And that's the end of the book.
And that's it!
I had, like, a physical tenseness when I was like, what?
Oh, my God. Animorphs. Animorphs. I can't believe we're almost at the end of the thing. I cannot believe that it breaks off at this point. This is not what I remembered. I am upset.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's so effective. I really want to know what happens next.
Yeah, I would have rushed out. I did, in fact, rush out to buy the next book club as soon as I could get my baby little hands on it.
Yeah, like, I think I had quit reading a little while before this, and then I found out who dies, and that made me never want to go read them. But if I had stuck with it, this book would have, like, made me, like, so excited for the final book. But also, oh my God, it can only go downhill from here for these kids.
Ugh. Well, do you got any nice treats? Do you want to do a lightning round of book corner recommendations for people who might need a chaser? What do you got? What's been keeping you happy?
I've been reading the first two books of the Chronicles of Prydaine by Lloyd Alexander.
The Black Cauldron.
Yeah, Black Cauldron is the second one. I read them as a kid and didn't remember much about them, and they're way more Lord of the Rings influenced than I remember. Like, I think I had only seen Lord of the Rings, the first movie or something, when I read these books. And I think it's probably that they're based on similar folktale history or something. But especially The Black Cauldron has a lot of the same themes as this Animorph book about, like, the price of, like, engaging. Like, Taran is the main character, and in the first book, he wants a sword. In the second book, he wants to help in this war with the evil king. And in both books, he sort of realizes how, like, what being in a war does to you, and how, like, maturity is more complicated than just honor and stuff like that. But it's also, like, a fantasy world where there's, like, a dwarf who just, like, can't become invisible and is grumpy about it, and a magic brooch, and Ilanui, who's, like, the best character.
Oh, I should, I should reread this. Yes,
they're kind of dark, so it wasn't a complete, I had to, like, stop and watch some, like, YouTube after this book, but they're, like, good little, like, middle grade, 118-page snacks.
Yep. A brief and tasty treat.
What have you been enjoying?
I got two things that, I also enjoyed with the asterisk, because they're very much along the lines of thinking about empathy and thinking about grief and how we deal with it, and also thinking about death. So the first one is George Saunders' Lincoln in the Bardo, which my brother recommended to me. Thank you, Jackson. And it is this hauntingly weird novella about Abraham Lincoln's son who died and then is trapped in this horrible graveyard purgatory. And it is just lingering there with him. And, like, what is it like to be in purgatory? What does it mean to stay there? What does it mean for the people around you who can't let go? What does it mean? Or, like, what does death mean to the people who survive and live, and how do you wrangle with the weight of your grief and what somebody meant to you in life, and like how to carry the good things about them forward even after they're gone. And it wrecked me. It was really, really good. And the other one was my middle grade series that I was rereading for a snack was Earthsea. So even though I feel like I just reread Earthsea, but I got to the Animorphs books where people start to die. I was like, no, I need this. So I just, I've been picking away at them and just got back through The Other Wind, which is, I think, the last one in this cycle. And it is also a very sweet and beautiful and thoughtful book about, like, what does it mean to let go of something and what good can we do in the world? Also, so those are my asterisk Rex. And it has Irian, the hot dragon lady, who is why I am the way I am.
It explains everything. Yeah. Also, when you think about it, Tombs of Atuan is like if there was a cult around some kind of your taxon god.
Yeah. Oh my god, no, that's super is it. The name or the the name eaters. Yeah.
Or nameless the nameless ones.
I think it's the nameless ones. Yeah. But like they're the great hungry void into which we throw all of our thoughts and emotions.
Yeah, I will say that when I'm reading Prydain, the whole time I'm like, I'm so glad Earthsea exists because these books are fun, but the whole time I'm like, why won't anyone let Illanwy do anything?
Yeah.
Where are all the women? What's going on? What? So it's like kind of like this is like the middle grade series that like
Ursula K. Le Guin is talking about.
It's like what
have we talked about Earthsea on this podcast before?
I don't know if we have.
Okay. Well, this is our soft Earthsea pitch then. The first book
is a lot more like
straightforwardly like boy wizard goes to boy school. Yeah. Sorry, our call just rose, and when it came back, Megan and I were making the same horrible face at each other.
Excuse me, are you there?
Big mood.
Yeah, like the first book is a lot more typical fantasy, and if you were like looking for the meat that's in the later books, it's a little bit harder to get through, but it's also kind of cool because it sets up all of this stuff that the other books are in conversation with in terms of like
what is the role of women in fantasy and what are the types of work that are traditionally like femme or female and why are they underappreciated and how can we talk about like different kinds of power. And if you know Ursula K. Le Guin's other work, like she is all about thinking about themes of gender and identity. Yeah. And it is really, really lovely and interesting to see her use those lenses to write these later books in the Earthsea cycle.
There's some really great just like imagery too.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah. Those are really good. Oh man. We also, a group of our friends watched Speed Racer.
Yeah, oh my god.
On another note. And that was delightful.
Yeah, that was like chaotic. A full-on brain. That was a bleach bath for my brain. It was just dip you right in and you're going to come out a blank slate. Don't know what's happening.
Midway through the movie, I think we all felt like we were, like, the movie had taken over our lives. Like, I lost track of what was going on, how long the movie had been going, how much could possibly be left. It was like, it's like an imperfect movie, but really
it's this beautiful, chaotic, manic thing. Yeah.
I'm glad.
I would die for the Wachowskis. Exists. Yeah. I love them. I'm so glad they're getting to live their visions.
Like, I don't know if I've ever loved any of their movies wholeheartedly the way some people do, but I'm really glad they exist.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an experience.
Sure was. Thank you for suffering with me.
Well.
What else is going on?
Carrie.
My book just came out.
Carrie has a book that she worked on, and it turned out so good.
Yeah, the McElroys and I made a graphic novel called The Adventure Zone, Here There Be Gerblins. When this book comes out, when this podcast comes out, it will have been out for a week, and I will have survived the whole tour, and I am so grateful to everyone who helped me along the way.
You will have gone through the gauntlet and crawled back into your cave.
That is exactly, literally could not have put it better myself.
Yeah, it's really good. I think even if
Megan flatted it. Megan is my companion in suffering through goblin deaths and gerblin deaths.
Yeah, it's real. I think even if you haven't listened to much of the podcast, it's like a good standalone adventure of like it's just good to look at, and I'm glad it's out for other people to look at.
Thank you. So me now, too.
Now when I draw fan art of Ganache the bugbear, I can post it.
Yes, please. Oh, please always do. You know that makes my day. Yeah. So we got one book left.
Oh my God.
I'm scared. I'm nervous. Yeah. You and I, we will talk off mic about what we want to do, if we want to do anything to celebrate, or if we just want to cry a little bit more on camera.
Yeah. We're like, we also will probably do other projects in the future.
Yes.
But we probably will have to take a break after this last book to regroup and figure that out. But I did have
but
someone...
We like reading and co-processing, and I would like to continue to do that together.
Yeah, I had, like, one person on Twitter was saying, like, well, if you guys do another podcast... And I was like, it's in... Like, we're thinking about it. It's not... Yeah. Like, don't... We're not going to drop off the face of the planet, but we also have not decided anything because there's so much going on in life.
Yeah, I can barely handle processing Animorphs. I can't think about the future. I, like Jake, I'm stuck on the clear blue line of finishing these books.
You can talk to us on Twitter at Morph Club Cast using the hashtag Morph Club Cast. We also have
a Facebook group. Find us on Facebook by searching for Morph Club Cast. That is the most delightful place on the internet, the Morph Club Clubhouse, and I love it very much. And I will put out once again a call for any and all fanfic recs you got. If there's spoilers, just run them through ROT13.com first. And otherwise, please link them to me. I am going to do my best to curate a fun list.
Oh, that's my bright spot when I finish these
books.
Yeah. I can read the fanfic.
Yes.
You can also leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us get found when people are searching for podcasts. And if you spread word by mouth, more people will listen.
We love that. It's very cool to get to talk to people in person also, so really please never hesitate to do that.
Yeah.
If you want to support Megan, who does all of the production and editing work for this show, on Patreon, you can find her at Megan Brennan.
And you can find Carrie at Patreon at Carrie Draws.
And I think that's it.
I can't believe we have one more book.
I know.
We'll let you guys
I don't know what
know.
I'm going to do.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know what we're going to end up doing. Like, we don't know, but we're going to have...
Yeah.
There will be another episode in 2 weeks. We're just not sure about anything. But we will see you next time.
Until then.
Bye.
Bye.